Hello, Comic-Con Revolution Ontario. Thank you so much for coming to our panel. I'm Jason Inman. If you don't know, I was the host of DC All Access. I'm also the co-writer of Jupiter Jet. I'm also, you can see me a lot of times on Collider. And my esteemed co-host here is Ashley Victoria Robinson, and we co-host a podcast called Geek History Lesson. And this panel is a live recording of our podcast where basically we take one subject matter or debate and we talk about it in less than an hour. Most of the times we're just being like, here's who Thanos is. Right, Ashley?
You did that one.
That's right. I did. And we're also going to be joined by John Boy Myers, who's the artist of Teen Titans and Royals and a bunch of other cool stuff.
And cover artist of Jupiter Jet.
But he is a very successful comic book artist, and he's selling stuff right now, so he'll run in late. When he runs in, I want everybody to, like, we're going to give him a loud round of applause. I'd love it if we could just do, like, you know, like in Cheers where they went, Norm! I'd love it if we could all go, John Boy! Okay,
that
here we go. John Boy!
Perfect timing.
It's all good.
We were just talking about how famous and successful you are.
Yeah, we were talking how very successful you are, sir.
Really?
Yeah.
Go ahead and pull that mic over to your to your good mouth so our audio listeners can hear you as well.
Is that like being internet famous or like just infamous?
No, it's way better than
It's like
than
being
infamous.
Really famous.
Okay, so the title of this panel is Infinity Gauntlet versus Green Lantern Rings. That's not the only weapons we're going to talk about because there are plenty of other weapons out there, but it's the two weapons that Comic-Con Revolution thought would really sell this panel. So... and I don't blame them. So really quickly here, what I'd love to do is, since John Boy is, this is his first episode that he's ever been on the podcast before, we'd like to do a little section on our podcast called The Meet Cute, where we talk about where people first encountered this thing. But since it's John Boy's first appearance, I'd love to hear his meet cute for how did you get into comic books, John Boy?
You know, I've been doing comics since I was a little kid. So my first introduction to comics was my dad, who's a military guy. He was an MP, and he, they would always, like, some of the GIs on base would get drunk. So they would put him in the holding tank, and they would run to the local Shopette and buy comics for the GIs so they'd dry out a little bit. So my dad used to bring home all these old war comics. So it was like Weird War Tales, Sergeant Rock, Creature Commandos, and I was just like, oh, this is so cool. And my dad would like steal pens and stuff from work and let us draw stuff. So I would do
my own. Military pens?
They were like the old military pens. Like if you guys are military, they're like black, red, green, and blue. And they're just like, they dry out like in a second. But it was military, of course.
Yeah.
So, and then one day he brought home a Captain America King Size Annual, Bicentennial Annual. Mm-hmm. It's, I don't know what issue it is. You think I'd go out and buy it, but it's, drawn by Jack Kirby. It's Captain America versus the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants with Magneto and Mr. Peepers, and he fought those guys. And I didn't know who Captain America was, and it, like seeing a superhero comic for the first time after reading war comics all the time, I was just like super floored, and that was it for me. I was like, oh, who is Captain America, and why does he have a shield, and why does he have a gun?
But I can imagine being a military kid, like seeing Captain America, you're probably like, I'm all in.
Guy
that wears the flag. I mean, we have a Captain America in the audience right here.
Yeah.
So
military brat too. So there's a strong sense of patriotism in the family, you know, growing up in a military base. And that was it for me. And from then I would do my own comic books. I would work like for months and then sell them outside to friends or trade them.
Instead of a lemonade stand, you had a comic stand?
Kind of, yeah. Like we would do comics, like all the neighborhood kids would do comics, and then we would do that, and then we'd work really hard on them, and then we'd sell them for like 40 cents because we were stupid. We didn't know that, you know, because we thought, well, comics are 40 cents, so it's like we have to sell ours for 40 cents. So then we'd get that, and then I'd go buy another comic book and
blow the profits.
Yeah,
just like real comics.
That's
right
just
now.
Like real comics. So that was it for me. I've been doing comics since I was 4. And then professionally...
Since you were 5.
Yes, for 5. I started doing comics professionally, I think, in 2000. But prior to that, I did a lot of indie stuff with guys like Robert Kirkman and Tony Moore and Corey Walker and Nate Bellegarde. And I was probably the least talented guy in that whole group, but it was... I learned a lot.
I find that hard to believe.
You know, I think everybody gets kind of like... I think every artist hates their own work and like... When you look at your stuff, you're always kind of like chasing the ghosts of guys that you think are really good. Mm-hmm. So it's always held to that standard and to your standard. Because when people, well, I'll post something and people are like, oh, that's really cool. I'm like, oh, man, it's garbage. But that's a good thing. You know, I'm just glad people like it. You know, I'm just like, I'm glad that I've been able to eke out a living. I'm really fortunate. And I get to, you know, meet great guys like you and fans and engage with people and stuff that we love. It's like, man, you know, life could not be better.
All right. So let's get to the debate here. Let's start off right with the title of this panel, The Infinity Gauntlet versus Green Lantern Rings. All right. So if you don't know, I mean, I would assume, has the majority of this room, has everybody in this room seen Avengers Infinity War? Is there anybody in this room that hasn't seen it?
Spoilers.
There's one person. Four people have not seen Avengers Infinity War.
I still haven't seen the first Avengers.
Oh, wow.
What? Oh, wow. Whoa.
Go see it.
Well, let me tell you, as someone who's seen Solo already, go see Avengers.
Oh, is Solo not good?
I will second that. As someone who's seen Solo, go see Avengers again.
It's a much better use of your $17.
Wow.
Yeah. So we see in that movie, if you haven't seen that movie, it's not really spoilers.
Spoilers for a 30-year-old comic book.
Yeah, the Infinity Gauntlet is this giant gauntlet that Thanos can use the Infinity Gems inside. They're called Stones in the movie. Now the comic books are retroactively calling them Stones now because the movies call them Stone, and they have all kinds of powers. They can alter reality, it can alter time, it can control minds, it can control your heart, it can control basically anything. And if you've seen the movie, it kind of seems like it is a catch-all weapon that can do anything you think of. Like, it's limitless power. Now, on the other side of it, we also have a weapon that can almost do anything that any writer wants to do at the same time, with the exception of it's all limited by your will. How strong is your mind to make this happen? Because there have been instances in comic books where we have seen the Green Lanterns create a living being. I don't know why I said that word weird. It's weird. A living being.
Also, Orange Lanterns have done that.
Yeah. Like, they have been a sentient living being from this, you know. And that's something, I don't know. Have we seen the Infinity Gauntlet create life?
No, but take life.
It's taken life.
Taken life.
It can change, alter, but I don't think we've seen it. But Green Lantern Rings, with the exception, Green Lantern Rings don't mind control. You can do time travel with a Green Lantern ring. Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a certain no-no to that, too. You're not supposed to bring people back, like Hal Jordan got mad because he brought all of Coast City back.
It's like the
Coast
Gene
City
can't bring people back from the dead.
That's right. And then you can't, like, kiss them and stuff because it's weird. But he did that too.
You need a Star Sapphire for that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But it is one
we got a ring for that.
Yeah. That's right. But it is one of those things, especially when you have the White Lantern, the guy who can control all of the colors. Those rings actually become pretty powerful. Like, they're, again, it's one of these things where, like, it basically can do anything the writer wants them to do. They're, like, almost unstoppable. Is there any argument to a Green Lantern ring beating somebody holding the Infinity Gauntlet? Can somebody with one of these rings, let's make it the max ring. It's the White Lantern with all the powers, the maximum powered lantern you could ever have. Could a White Lantern?
Well, it can kind of do the same thing almost then.
Yeah.
Because it's powered by will. But I think the only thing is, like,
it also has a bunch of different rainbow colored stones.
That's true. That's true. And, like, but are they still, the caveats are they can't affect yellow? Do they have any, like?
No, it's unlimited. If you're a White Lantern, you can use all of these colors with unlimited, basically, power.
It's kind of like the riddle, like, of the Sphinx. So the immovable object meets the unstoppable force.
And
surrender, right? You just, I don't know. Like,
I don't know which way it goes.
Who's wielding it, though? Like, is it, like,
that's
Hal Jordan?
That's the real question.
Or Guy Gardner?
I think is the wielder, because the rings are sort of, you can gauge their power sets based on the wielder and the constructs that they make. So I find it more interesting and more compelling storytelling when it's a creative person wielding the ring, because they can do more interesting things with it and more innovative things with it. Like, Hal Jordan makes, like, a baseball glove, a baseball bat, and a fist.
So lame.
And Kyle Rayner, because he's an artist,
the giant
and John
manga
Stewart,
robot, which
who's
is awesome.
An architect, make the most interesting constructs. Mm-hmm. And then to me, that I would extrapolate that they're more powerful wielders, which is why Kyle was the Omega Lantern.
Oh, there's an Omega Lantern?
Yes, there's an Omega Lantern.
Omega
now.
Men by Tom King. Great book.
Yeah, it's pretty good. If you haven't read it, Omega Men, go check it out.
You can borrow it from us.
Well, let's flip this. I mean, it's all about the wearer. Let's give Hal Jordan the Infinity Gauntlet. Let's give Thanos the White Lantern ring.
Ooh.
We flip it. Does it change anything? Is Hal Jordan unstoppable with an Infinity Gauntlet?
Okay, there's little kids in here, so I'm going to say this really nicely. Hal Jordan's a dick. So he would probably, I don't know if Hal Jordan's the most responsible person of all potential lanterns. He's better than Guy Gardner.
He has been a supervillain before.
I think he would go crazy. I think he would get corrupted because he's that type of guy to where, Like, it's kind of like Batman with the ring too, because you have that, you feel like you're the absolute moral center and you're the judge, jury, and executioner of what you think is right. Instead of letting life find its own way,
your morals become skewed.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Like, absolute power corrupts absolutely. So, like spoilers, like, if you haven't seen the movie, like, Thanos is not really painted as a villain. He's more of like, I'm here to, like, you know, green the universe kind of deal.
And it gets a very similar treatment to Killmonger, where you're like, I get that you're bad, but I can see what you're talking about.
Yeah, but if you have but those are the best villains, stones, though. You can make infinite resources. So it's kind of like, dude, like, your argument falls apart. You just want to kill people.
That's true. He does. He basically, he just wants to kill people. Like, that's all he wants to kill.
I think that's his whole thing. Like, I don't know. I think it's driven by the wearer. Mm-hmm. I think you absolutely.
Well,
I think,
it is interesting as well, because I just finished. They just released the new hardcover edition of Zero Hour. And if you haven't read DC Comics Zero Hour, it's this Dan Jurgens event where Hal Jordan goes crazy, and Hal Jordan remakes the universe. It actually happens. Spoilers for a comic that came out in 1994. but he literally remakes the universe in his own image. Now, he basically just remakes the same DC Comics universe, because I think, you know, comics, he can't actually change anything. But if he had actually, his argument was that he was going to bring back everybody that died in all these superhero incidents, everybody's dead lovers, the
Not
Wayans.
Barry Allen.
He didn't bring back Barry Allen, which was weird because Barry Allen is his best friend. So
not that best friend.
But he basically remade the universe exactly the way it was before. So it is one of those ideas that, like, Hal Jordan with an Infinity Gauntlet would do kind of the same thing as Thanos. He would be like, I'm going to rewrite reality. I'm going to bring all the dead... Except he's going to do the opposite. Instead of killing half the universe, he's going to bring all the dead people back.
He's going to make even more strain on our
limited resources. He's the anti-Thanos.
He's the anti-Thanos. He is. Yeah. He's like, everybody dead should be alive. And Thanos with his White Lantern ring would just be like, I got to stop this guy because half the people should be dead.
It's like, you're crazy. You're crazy.
Thanos would make great use of the Black Lantern powers. He's just like... Instead of it being more like a nuclear blast, it would be like a sniper. He's like, you're dead, you're dead, you're dead, you're dead. Like, he'd have to do it all by himself.
I will say, you know, the thing about this debate is that we've stumbled upon that since Hal Jordan is the anti-Thanos, I think we right now are coming up with the best new, like, a weird Blackest Night event where Hal Jordan builds some sort of machine that channels all the Green Lantern rings and
DC and Marvel has a perfect creative team here to write their next amalgam comic.
This is already writing itself. Like, it's Hal Jordan being like, I want to save all the dead people. Nobody should be dead.
We're not going to make any money off of that. We're like, oh, thanks, chumps. There you go.
Yeah,
but who's dead right now? Like, nobody.
His dad?
Well, who's dead who anyone cares about right now?
Does Thanos have a dad? Is his dad dead?
His dad—he just killed his dad in Jeff Lemire's run.
Is that the one where they gave him a name?
Oh, Thanos killed
his
dad.
His name is like
Thanos
Dion Warwick or something.
Dion Warwick.
Dion. No, Thanos's real name is Dion.
But it's spelled like
Thanos.
Dion Warwick.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, yeah. Because
you know, Thanos isn't a good enough name.
Yeah. But they just did that, yeah, because they showed his dad, and he just killed his dad or something like that. His dad is weird.
Yeah, we're wrong in that relationship. You know what I'm saying? Like, dude, like, what happened there?
Hal Jordan also has a dead dad.
Yep. Yeah, see?
Love dead dads.
They're the same character, man.
I also have a dead dad, so watch out, guys.
Yeah. I think that's the title of the event, Blackest Dad.
Blackest Dad, yeah.
No, bring don't him back. Call
bring
it
him back.
That.
What? What's wrong with that title?
I think though, like, there's a lot of parallels with both characters, and I think they're... Where's the moral ground on that? I think that's the thing. Is like, I think you're right. It goes down to who the wielder was, because I think a guy like Guy Gardner with with the Infinity Gauntlet or with all the rings, I would like to see that comic made, because then he's kind of like, nah, you know, everyone can do their own thing. It's okay. If anybody steps out of line, what he thinks is like, I think he'd still do his job. I don't think absolute power would corrupt him, because he's always a
really.
Jerk. I don't think so.
I think he'd turn into a bully. No. I think he'd turn into like an
ultimate
bully.
He's already a bully, though. He'd
I think
he'd
become even worse.
You think so?
Like, it'd be like ultimate wedgies for the universe.
You know what? There's no
infinite wedgies. That's another event right there. You can take that, Marvel.
You know what? Maybe Jon Stewart, because Jon Stewart actually,
John
for
Stewart's
me,
a good
was
choice.
My Green Lantern growing up. Not Ryan Reynolds. Sorry, Ryan. But
He's no one's Green Lantern.
Yeah, I know.
He's doing fine.
That's
so
true. Yeah, he's Deadpool now. Yeah. See, for me, it'd be Kyle Rayner, because Kyle Rayner,
hottest Green Lantern.
Yeah, because Kyle Rayner's the guy who kept the Green Lantern torch alive. He's become the White Lantern. He's become the Omega Lantern, and he's never been corrupted. With the exception of the time that he was infected by Parallax. But that doesn't count.
Look, I'm going to just say give it to Chip. He's a cute squirrel-looking alien. He don't want to hurt anyone.
So he could... So
he just use it to murder trees.
You're saying Chip is the guy that would... He would kill half the trees
order.
In the universe?
He would restore
half
orders
the nuts
to the universe.
Universe are gone?
Yeah. They're just buried underground for the next time he needs them.
We're here for the nuts.
We're here for the nuts. All right. So I would love to see my... let's do round of applause. We have the ultimate. Is Thanos the ultimate wielder of the Infinity Gauntlet, we think? Is there anybody else in the Marvel Universe that we think could do better? No?
Yes.
No?
Could do better? Oh.
Either. It doesn't matter. You think Adam Warlock? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Thank
That's
you.
An interesting. All right.
Good.
Choice.
So go Adam Warlock. Okay. So let's say Adam Warlock is our Infinity Gauntlet wielder in the DC universe. We're gonna make it the White Ring because it's the ultimate combination. You can access any powers. Is it Hal Jordan or is it Kyle? Or like who's the green? Who's the ultimate?
I think John Boy's assertion of John Stewart.
All right, John
is
Stewart.
The good one.
Sorry.
The most level-headed of the
Lanterns.
All right.
So by round of applause, who thinks that John Stewart with a White Ring can beat the Infinity Gauntlet? By round of applause, go right now. Okay.
John Stewart, come on.
All right. All right, now let's hear a round of applause for Adam Warlock wielding the Infinity Gauntlet.
That sounds
like
a tie.
It's pretty even.
Close,
it's pretty even, I think.
I think they would be friends. They'd be like, hey, man, we got all this power. Let's just like make sure no one, like, there's no other Omega level threat that's come.
They're very responsible dudes.
I think so. I think they would take care of like people like Galactus eating planets and stuff.
Well, I think Adam Warlock would create that weird soul dimension like he did in the comic books and invite Jon Stewart in. And then every time that Adam Warlock got angry, Jon Stewart would just be calm him down with his emotion powers.
Which ring should Galactus have?
What?
Is the real question.
That's a big ring.
That's a big ring.
Yeah.
He would probably eat them, wouldn't he? Like, if he ate them, would he consume their powers?
You know, he could eat Mogo. Galactus could eat Mogo.
That's true.
And he would get the ring, I think. It'd be inside his stomach.
I smell crossover so bad right now. Because the Green Lantern's kind of like has a Guardians of the Galaxy type thing going on. Because you have Chip, who's basically Rock Raccoon. You have
you know the title of that event is? Infinite what? Cuisine.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah. It's like.
Wait, what's the dog Green Lantern's name? Gnort?
Gnort.
Gnort? Yeah. Oh, is he a dog?
Yeah.
Oh,
and then there's Dexter. There's a lot of animal landers.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, you know, aliens all over, and there's still cats who are on alien planets. That's kind of weird.
Now, I mean, cats are great.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm just saying, like, maybe it could be like a, I don't know.
All right,
spaghetti monster?
Yeah, something.
So like, I have a list of other weapons, and I'd love to talk to them about, like, our thoughts about them and whether we think at any point. I think I'm going to slightly, based off your applause, I think I'm going to slightly give it to Infinity Gauntlet. I think Infinity Gauntlet was a little bit louder, but not by much. It's interesting how we designed, we almost stopped. I thought the Infinity Gauntlet was going to like just destroy everything here, but it seems like
that's
like,
what it tends to do.
Right out of the gate, we already found something that can equalize the Infinity Gauntlet. All right, so I have a list of other comic book weapons. I would love to us talk through them, think like whether we like them, whether we think they're way overpowered or just stupid, and then if they think...
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, the answer is going to be yes on most of them. But do we think this could take out Adam Warlock chilling with Jon Stewart inside the Soul Dimension Infinity Gauntlet? All right. The first one is Jack Kirby's Mother Box.
Oh.
All right. So this is another thing. The Mother Box mainly can be used to boom tube to Apocalypse, other dimensions outside the multiverse.
But it remakes reality, too.
But it also can basically do anything the writer wants it to. It's a magic mystery box, man.
Well, this is also the problem with comics and with some comics characters. I always cite Scarlet Witch for this. Is there's... When you get too powerful, you can basically, you're just a plot device for whatever the writer wants to do with you. I feel like the Mother Box is very that.
That sounds lazy, but yeah.
What do you think about the Mother Box, John Boy?
I think, here's the thing, like, I think you have too many things that are MacGuffins that are too powerful that are running around, and there's like, to me, if you're going to have things like that, there always has to center around rules, because there's always rules to the universe. There's yin and there's yang, and they don't really seem to do that. They just think...
With the fourth world?
Yeah, well, with everything, I think, everything, like in DC and Marvel, it's like, it's this thing that does omnipotent stuff, and then you have the Phoenix Force that just eats everything, you know, you're just like, dude, like, you know, there's got, I think if you assign certain rules to it, and these things, how these things are supposed to work, or how these things are supposed to do it, it makes a little bit more interesting, because then, you know, if you have these, it's kind of like ants fighting God, and you're just kind of like, dude, come on, really? Like, you know, what is Spider-Man going to do against Thanos? Like, you know, pew, you know, I'm going to do it with my webs.
He's going to catch Mantis. We saw it in the movies.
He's going to cry. Sorry. This is Stalk. I love you.
Spider-Man meets Mantis. I know that's
a
big Infinity War spoiler, guys.
Oh, sorry, spoilers.
Yeah, sorry. All right, the next one is, and this is a big one, but this is another one with no rules and basically can do anything that the writer wants it to be, which is the common theme of this panel. The Helmet of Fate. The Helmet of Dr. Fate.
I think that's another one that comes down to the wielder, though. like you.
Do you have a favorite? Do you have a preferred Dr. Fate, Wilder?
Kent Williams, man. Or no,
Kent Nelson.
Kent Nelson. Sorry, Kent Williams. Yeah. Sorry, Kent.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's the most capable one. I can't remember the new kid's name, and I feel very bad for that because that's a great series that came out of the.
You're not talking about the '90s guy with a giant knife and a new, mullet,
the
right?
The like, 52 one with the young.
He looked like Jonah Hex, right?
With the young Egyptian kid in the hoodie. I can't think of his name.
I will look it up.
It's such a good series, though. But I feel like the Helmet of Fate, and I think DC does a better job with their magic, ironically, or their little magic universe, like with Constantine and Zatanna. And Etrigan of setting up those boundaries and those rules.
Khalid Nassur.
Yeah.
Khalid. And then there was Kent Nelson. There was
Hey, where are you getting all this? Are you
Wikipedia?
Wikipedia, my friend. I thought you knew all this off the top of your head.
No, I wish I did. There was Kent Nelson. There's Strauss, apparently, as a Dr. Fate. I've never heard of Strauss before.
Probably a flashback.
Is that the mullet guy?
No, I don't know. I don't know who the mullet guy is.
It might be mullet guy.
1987, so maybe that's mullet guy.
Yeah.
And then there's Hall, who is the son of Carter Hall, Hawkman.
That's weird.
Jeff Johns made him Dr. Fate for a while in the 90s.
But how does that work? Because, like, isn't Hawkman and Hawkgirl, like 30-something? Like, that means they had a kid when they were, like, 17?
I think it was, like, the he's the child of when they were in the
30s. You can't worry about when people are having kids too much.
Reincarnation. All right, so,
or how old Batman is.
Sorry, I'm derailing. Sorry.
So here's the problem I feel about Dr. Fate is that Dr. Fate enters the realm. You guys talked about rules and stuff like that, where it's, like, magical users. Like, there's no rules for magical users. It's interesting because... has anybody out here read the Doctor Strange Jason Aaron run, the run that just happened? Pretty good, right? Yeah, it's really good. And one of the things they do in that run is they introduce like all these rules, and they also give his powers a finite limit. Like he only can use kind of like what Spawn used to have back in the day.
There's when a price for magic, man.
Exactly.
Should be.
And before that point, it was kind of the idea that Doctor Strange could basically do anything. It was like, oh, here's the eyes of Baga, you know, and oh, they can stop Galactus and do all this stuff. My mic keeps falling over. It's driving me crazy.
Well, now Squirrel Girl can beat Galactus, so the bar's not that high.
What?
Yeah,
she beat him in her
There's like a list of like 75 people in the Marvel universe that can beat Galactus now, and it gets a little ridiculous.
Is that metaphor for something, or is like no?
No, truly, like she gave like a literal snap. She fed him a moon, and he was like, I'm not angry anymore.
I thought like he needed a girlfriend or something. Like.
I mean,
he might. I don't know. Galactus. I mean, he's
the ultimate sugar daddy, man. He's like,
He's got Silver Surfer.
You know what they say about shoe size, right? You know what they say about shoe size, right?
That it doesn't correlate to anything else.
That's correct.
Humans
that's
have complex biology.
But also, he has a pretty bitchin' ship.
That is true.
He has a ship the size of a planet.
Chicks
it's pretty cool.
Chicks dig ships.
I think chicks dig the ship, and I think chicks dig the antennae on the side of his head.
He's like Squirrel. Hey, Squirrel Girl, I like my ship. It's as big as a planet.
All right, so let's say whatever preferred Dr. Fate user you like. Does anybody on this table think Dr. Fate, the Helmet of Naboo, can take out an Adam Warlock powered Infinity Gauntlet wielder?
No.
All right, audience. Applaud for Dr. Fate if you think he can beat the Infinity Gauntlet.
Crickets.
Wow.
Oh,
okay. There's one clap. Nobody likes Dr. Fate. All right, we're moving on.
You're a brave man. You're a brave man.
I love your Dr. Fate love. All right. The next one. This is another weapon that has some rules, but lately they've been adding more and more things that it can do. So I think it now is in the period of this is a weapon that can do anything.
Is it because it's in a movie now, so they're making it more powerful?
Well, actually, no. It's because of there was a certain Jane Foster that wielded it. I'm talking about Mjolnir.
Meow, meow.
Mjolnir is the next weapon. Meow, meow. So, you know, for a long time, it can bring lightning. It could bring storms. It could transform people. They've now done the thing where it can shapeshift now.
What? Come
it can
on.
Now. Yeah. So there was a scene in the comics of Jane Foster where Thor and Jane Foster appeared in the same scene, and it was Mjolnir in the visage of Thor. And then if you see Infinity War, there's a new hammer, which is basically Mjolnir too, that seems to be uber powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm counting them as one weapon. We're just going with Thor's hammer, basically. Mjolnir. What do you think about Mjolnir? Do you like Mjolnir? Do you hate Mjolnir?
You're asking me? I like it in the comic books. I hate it in the movies.
What do you hate in the movies?
Well, it's just like, it's kind of tropey because like the thing about it, the first thing is if Thanos were there making the Infinity Gauntlet, I'm like, hey, little like Peter Dinklage dwarf dude, you're going to make all kinds of cool weapons for all my peeps. Because we're going to be powered up and we're going to, you know what I mean?
We're going to have a hammer army.
We're going to have a hammer army. I would make that guy fashion all these cool weapons, all these cool armor. And
have you not read Fear Itself?
No. Oh, yeah, I remember that. The thing about it is, though, it's just kind of like, it just seems like a little too easy. Like, oh, well, I could have gotten my hammer any time. You know, it's like, again, for me, it's like, it makes these things a little bit too easy. And it's like, oh, that's all you had to do is just talk to the dwarf and get a hammer and, you know, restart.
There's a finite amount of Uru in the universe, and that's the
I would
material.
Use it all if I were Thanos.
At least Uru all the time.
If the world was ending.
That's right. I would do Uru for everything.
I'd make an Uru Chevy Camaro.
Because the big dude is always getting right? his butt kicked by everybody.
Cosmic Ghost Rider guys.
Who is it in the Black Order? Who's the big guy who's always getting beat up by everybody?
I don't know.
I only
remember.
Know
he got his arm
none of their
blown
names.
Off.
I know Ebony Maw, and he's the preacher guy who's like, you should be thankful that you're being killed by Thanos.
He looks like Squidward.
Your neck like shall Squidward. Be snapped by Thanos, and you should bless him.
Who was Carrie Coon? She's the only one I care about.
Proxima Midnight?
Yes.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you. What do you think about Meow Meow?
I'm a fan of Mjolnir. I think it's cool.
Wait, comics or movie? Or you like them both?
I like them both. I don't have a problem with
it. It's not Mjolnir. You like Chris Hemsworth. It's fine.
He's not my preferred Hollywood Chris.
Really? Yeah. Which one, Evans?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you'd be more of a Pratt guy.
He's a nice human. So. I don't know if I could get along with Chris Pratt.
He seems like a very funny dude. I don't like funny things.
I think this is funny how this has turned into
oh, I'm sorry.
About who's the ultimate Hollywood Chris?
It's Chris Evans because he's
Chris
a cute
versus
dog.
Chris. Do it. Now, I think Chris Pine is the ultimate comic book weapon.
No.
His face is so rigid with plastic surgery. No.
No, I'm a Loki fan. But what I like about Mjolnir is that since apparently we had to kill one of the coolest Asgardians who was also the doorman to Asgard, I like now that it holds on to the Rainbow Bridge, because the Rainbow Bridge, the Bifrost is one of my favorite things about Norse mythology. One of the things that I think they adapted
it's one of the coolest things
the best.
Yeah. Yeah. The visual of it is really cool.
And I love how they just keep breaking it in every movie. Mm-hmm. So if that's what we get to preserve it, I can live with that. I think it beats the Infinity Gauntlet though, or Lantern Ring.
I'm gonna be honest on this list that I have, and I don't know if we'll get to everything on my list. I don't think anything's gonna beat the Infinity Gauntlet, with the exception of one thing, just because it's so ridiculous. So I'm gonna bring this up to you. Do you want me to get to the one thing that I think could beat it,
or
do you
want to go?
You,
I know.
You want to get to the list.
Oh, wait, sorry.
No.
It's another Marvel Comics
yes,
item.
Yes, I know. I know what it is.
The Silver Surfboard.
Oh, let's just get right to it. Me and John Boy are jazzing about it. All right, let's see.
Okay, I think I know what it is, but...
I'm talking about the Ultimate Nullifier. Is that what you're talking about?
No, I was talking about Molecule Man's wand.
That's
so
a good
funny,
choice,
I was just,
he can transmute anything
about,
and change anything.
What about
anything.
Black Bolt's voice?
It's strong. I don't know if it's...
I wonder what he sounds like. Strong. Justin Guarini, you see him in the Dr. Pepper, he's like, it's a sweet one.
Yeah, he sounds like that. I like that Black joke, Bull. Too. Black Bolt's always like his boy band song. Right, yeah.
Jason Derulo auto tune.
But I think Ultimate Nullifier as well, too, because those are like kind of MacGuffins that haven't really been defined by anything. Same with Molecule Man, too.
It's interesting, too, because the Ultimate Nullifier, again, is a Jack Kirby Stanley thing that was created when Galactus first appeared. When Galactus was first coming in the comic books in Fantastic Four, 49, 50. I don't know if he appears in 49. I think he appears in 50 for the first time. But it's this weapon that can blink the universe out of existence. And it's so powerful that nobody in all of comics history has ever decided to use it. And
it's Command Z in Photoshop.
Basically. It's basically ultimate control delete of the universe.
How does Thanos not know about this?
I don't think Thanos exists at the time. But it's basically the Watcher tells Reed Richards that this is the only thing you can use because nobody has ever stopped Galactus. And basically, you know, Reed stops Galactus because he bluffs him. He's like, look, I'm going to click this button. And Galactus is like, whoa, dude, even I'm not that crazy. Chill, man. Don't take away my antennae.
Can Franklin Richards out-null the Nullifier?
Franklin Richards does not exist at the time of Reed Richards'
first
game.
Yeah, but he exists now.
You know what? To be honest with you,
but he can make realities, but with the reality stone, he can do the same thing.
Yeah.
But I think with the Ultimate Nullifier,
You
kill everybody. You kill yourself.
I think Franklin Richards is the living Ultimate Nullifier now in comic books because he's so powerful that, he creates universes. Mm-hmm. He controls Galactus. I think Franklin Richards is now being introduced into this list. I think Franklin
child
Richards
labor.
A tiny
yes.
blonde child.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think Franklin Richards can take out that Infinity Gauntlet with no problem.
You imagine Franklin Richards with the Infinity Gauntlet.
Oh, you know what? Oh, I know it could take out the Infinity Gauntlet.
Sure.
Like the one thing that no one can beat. And it's death, right?
Death itself.
Death is Thanos' girlfriend.
Well, not really. He's always breaking her heart. You know, she's always breaking his heart. Yeah, he's always crying over her.
He keeps killing himself to hang out with her.
I know.
To, like, go over, like, and Netflix and chill.
For you. Come on, be my girlfriend. Yeah, she's just like, no. But she loves Deadpool, so.
She loves Deadpool now.
That's true. Yeah. Why is that? I don't
is Deadpool it. Breaking the fourth wall comic book weapon? Can we consider that? What do you guys think? Like, that's sort of a weapon, because he can sort of, like, see his death coming before it happens.
Well, and then there's that whole arc where he wants to die, and...
Yeah, I remember that.
That's true.
From, like, I don't know, 5 years ago.
Is that when he faces off with the Hulk?
I'm not going to say that I read it.
Okay.
I just remember the covers, because death is, like, cradling him, and he's like, I guess I'll find him.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. But for me, like I said, like, because I just love... the original Fantastic Four run, the Stan Lee Kirby run, so much that to me, I still see that ultimate nullifier as, like, this ultimate thing. And I know it's been, like, played over and over and over in the comic books
a lot.
Well,
it's like the Scarlet Witch's powers. It's been used too many times. And, or it's like the angels in Doctor Who. Like, you can ring that bell only so many times before you're like, I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
Hey, I've got a question. Wait, sure. Does Thanos get to decide when he snaps his finger who lives and who dies? Because if not... then, like, if you're fighting Thanos, I'm like, I'm going to go after the ultimate nullifier. I'm going to send up a whole team. And, like, you know, if half the team dies, that's fine. We still get the ultimate nullifier. Like, dude, like, he loses, right? Like, you're...
It's sort of true.
I would say, I'm kind of on the fence. I think ultimate nullifier would trump anything. That's, again, this all-powerful MacGuffin that, like...
But the interesting thing is that if you click the ultimate nullifier, there's no clicking back. It's erasing the universe and never bringing it back.
Well, it's
just
like,
it's just being like, all right, guys, we had a good run. Click, you know, like.
So it's basically a PC. Once it's done, it's done.
It's done. Like, it's done. It's like, that's why it's the ultimate. That's why. Even, like I said, Galactus, which is like, you're crazy humans.
I mean, until all new Marvel now.
I also like the idea that us, humanity, that we're the only ones crazy enough to click this thing. Like, we're the only species in all of infinity that we're like, we're gonna do it.
Well,
we're gonna do it.
Just get a little dark. We're not that far from that, really, in the real world.
No, we're not. As like I said, like, that's why I think it worked, because Galactus is just like, oh my god, these crazy monkeys.
It's funny to me that a lot of these weapons are Marvel based, the ones that are, like, ultimately ridiculously powerful, and a lot of them are Kirby creations.
Kirby creations, yeah.
But he did the mother boxes. The thing with the mother boxes, though, they can do whatever they want, too.
Absolutely.
But I don't know if there's enough history on mother boxes, because it's never been fully explained. Like, the DC movie thing is kind of like, we're just terraforming planets.
There is sort of...
Like, man, that was Superman, Man of Steel, man. Yeah. You can't do that joke again.
There is sort of an opposite, though,
and not
to,
have it be Brainiac.
Yeah,
there is a DC opposite, though, to the Ultimate Nullifier, and it's the Miracle Machine.
What is that?
So the Miracle Machine...
Is that Miracle Man's?
No, it's a Legion of Superheroes machine. Do you guys know the Miracle Machine?
Sounds fancy.
It was basically used in this guy right here, the awesome beard right here. He knows it. It's basically like, it's a Legion of Superheroes thing. I don't think it has any, it's not a Kirby device, but I think it comes from like Al Plastino's time in the Legion of Superheroes. It's used in Final Crisis, and it's basically the device that rebuilds the universe. So it's this device that, like, looks very Kirby-esque. You press a button, and whatever you kind of wish to happen, happens. And in Final Crisis, when the universe was destroyed by Darkseid, Superman used the Miracle Machine.
Oh, for his Superman
wins
one
Final
wish.
Crisis?
Superman wins Final Crisis with the Miracle Machine. Because he's the only one that survives. And
what?
So he turns on the Miracle Machine, and because he wishes for the best of us, everybody kind of has a happy ending, and all the dead people come alive.
Yeah, even the Joker.
Yeah. So, like, you could... It's one of those things where, like, okay, you could click the ultimate nullifier as long as, like, within a nanosecond you click the Miracle Machine.
Yeah.
But you got to be like, whip snap.
What if you're just wishing for, like, I want a popsicle?
Then you would have the biggest miracle of popsicle of all time.
Or if you're Chip, you just want nuts.
Yeah.
Like, I want all the nuts.
A giant walnut.
Give me all the nuts.
Yeah, I'd be happy in that world.
Yeah, you know what? That's kind of, that is kind of interesting, because it's kind of like the polar opposite of things. I don't know. That's a tough thing. That's why it's always easier to, like, that's why it's always hard to create things that are so powerful, because you kind of write yourself into, like, well, what trumps that? And it's like, it's a human collective. And you're like, not really, because he just snaps you out of existence. Because,
exactly.
Like, how'd they defeat Thanos the first time? They got him to take off the glove.
They made him a farmer.
Yeah. Well, he became a farmer. And
you
then
want to be a farmer?
They got the gauntlet from him. And somebody else put the gauntlet on and then rewrote
Nebula
the universe.
Did, and then Adam Warlock.
And then brought the people back.
Oh, really? Yeah. Nebula. Wow.
Yeah, it was Nebula.
Yeah, Nebula defeats Thanos, but then she is going to remake the universe, but she's too, like, corrupted and angry at him. So they give it to Adam Warlock, because why would you let a woman reset the world when you could have a man do it?
Well,
and a
I'm
white,
not going to touch that. I'm
blonde
married, so I can't.
Savior man at that.
I'm not going to sleep on the couch for that one.
Adam Warlock's yellow.
Whatever.
He's yeller. He's like a Simpson.
He's yeller.
All right. So, we left it in comic books here. Really quickly before we go to you guys, because I want to hear if you guys have any debates of weapons or if you think we're stupid or whatever. I'll bring the mic out to you.
I don't want to talk to everything.
Are there any weapons outside of comic books, like in movies,
yes,
stuff like that you think should definitely be in this? I want to hear, let's go out to movies. Anybody?
Oh, Kevin Feige.
Kevin Feige is the ultimate comic book weapon. All right.
That's right. He is. That is true. And then probably Dan DiDio for DC.
Yeah. I think Kevin Feige's hat is definitely in this argument. I think that thing hides a powerful black hole of creativity and wisdom.
That's true.
Dave Filoni's cowboy hat is the same thing.
I think we'd be remiss to not mention Excalibur. It's one of the most powerful mythic weapons of all times.
How about that?
We talked about this before the panel and remembered that it is in comics in a couple different incarnations.
It is. Camelot 3000. Yeah.
Mage, the hero defined.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's pretty powerful, Mage. Any of you guys out there read Mage?
What does it do? Does it make you, I can sword fight good now? Or what is it?
Well, it's interesting.
You can reunite and forge the country of Albion.
So did anybody here see
Dragons?
Did anybody here see the terrible King Arthur movie that Guy Ritchie made?
Oh, I really like that movie, man.
Yeah. I thought it was half good. But the interesting thing in that movie is that if you notice, which is something that I thought the whole movie, when he grabbed Excalibur, he got superpowers.
That's true.
Which I thought was really cool, and I was like, why wasn't the whole movie that, guys? Why save that? But he grabbed Excalibur and it was sort of like he went into flash time and he was faster than everybody else. And Excalibur became a lightsaber in that movie, which I thought was really cool and unique to that movie. So if that's the Excalibur we're talking about, hell yeah. It's
and
one
he
of
fought
the most
Death Dealer. That was awesome.
Yeah, he did.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I mean,
the visuals of that movie I thought were really good.
I thought were really well done.
Yeah. And it was really good. Is anything else besides Excalibur? I can't think of anything.
Oh, man.
The One Ring?
The One Ring.
It even corrupts the most pure and earnest among us.
But can the One Ring do anything besides turn yourself invisible?
Not really. If
you're not Sauron, can you do anything with that ring besides be invisible?
You know, if you're a guy and you're in high school, it's a pretty good ring to have, I guess, hypothetically. But, I mean, you know, there's a little creep factor to that. But,
yeah.
But I think that's the thing, though, with all these. I think the thing that we're touching on is with all these absolute powerful items, mm-hmm. They corrupt absolutely. Because I'm surprised the Ultimate Nullifier didn't go to Reed Richards' head. It's like, look at me, man. I'm smart. And I got an ultimate weapon. You
but
know?
Reed's
like,
already like that.
Kind of. Well, Reed is crazy, by the way.
Yeah.
He's one step away from Dr. Doom. He really is.
Yeah.
And that's why I like their relationship so much, because
they're the same person, basically.
They're basically the same person. And it's only Reed's family that doesn't make him insane as Dr. Doom. And that's why I like in the Ultimate Universe, if you ever read any of those, Reed Richards goes insane in the Ultimate Universe because he doesn't have Sue. And he becomes
Does Sue die? Or she just said, you're too creepy for me.
No, yeah, she basically dumps him.
Oh,
and because of that, he becomes a super villain.
Does Reed hit her just like everyone else in the Ultimate Universe
ladies? She hits him. Okay. She hits him, but he gets a big scar. He becomes this villain called the Maker.
Because
he decides to do like Franklin Richards. He's like, I'm going to make my own universe. Screw women. Yeah!
I'm going to make my own girlfriend and she's going to like me forever.
She's going to like me and she's going to like Pokemon and video games.
I think this is the thing we're settling on. These guys who have absolute powers like Thanos and Reed Richards, they're just doing it to impress some chick. Really?
Yep.
Death or Sue, you know. It's just like, can I just impress you now? Come on. You know, she's like, not really.
Hey, Geek History Lesson fans, I've got to interrupt the podcast real quick because we've got to thank some of our amazing sponsors, and this week the episode is sponsored by Lisa. Lisa is an amazing mattress company, and their mission is to provide a better night's sleep for everybody. And not only did they have a great sleep, but they had an amazing July 4th with so many fireworks and so many mattresses that they are extending an amazing deal just to you, our listeners. Now, again, I know you might be like, hey, I don't need a mattress. I don't know if I like Lisa. Well, you're going to like Lisa a lot because they have a 110 program, which means that they donate one mattress for every 10 that they sell. That's more than 26,000 mattresses and counting. And not only that, but Lisa strives to leave the world a better place than they found it, not only with comfortable mattresses, but by helping the Arbor Day Foundation, because Lisa plants one tree for every mattress they sell, and they are committed to planting 1 million trees by 2025.
I have a Lisa mattress personally, and it is the most comfortable mattress I've ever slept on in my entire life. So you do not want to miss this July 4th mattress sale that is being extended past July 4th by Lisa. You can get $160 off a Lisa mattress at Lisa.com. That's LEESA.com/geekhistory. That's Lisa.com/geekhistory. And now back to the show.
All right, I am going to come out into the audience. Is there anybody that is would like to talk about, is there a weapon that we missed? Or, by the way, we're giving away, we have a John Boy Myers print right here, signed by John Boy from Jupiter Jet, and this is going to be the prize.
For just devalued it by 50%.
You just devalued it. This is the this is the prize for the best question. Is there anybody out there that would like to bring an argument right here?
Or you can just ask a question. That's also
Or you can ask a question. Yeah, you can ask a question. Let's bring it down to, I'll walk down to you.
All right, so I have two. One from Marvel, you guys can talk about. One from DC. Okay. So the Marvel one's from way back. Secret Wars, the original.
Oh, the Beyonder.
The Beyonder's power.
Ah.
And Doom showed that he couldn't really, because Claw tricked him. Mind tricks, kind of similar to Thanos. And then on the DC side of things, Sam Humphrey's recent Green Lanterns run, they showed the Phantom Ring, which doesn't have the limitation of only an hour.
There's
a Phantom Ring
too
now.
Too many rings. It's already a death ring.
And also... Anybody can wield it.
Wow.
Anybody can wield the Phantom Ring.
I think the Beyonder thing, we found out in Illuminati Marvel series that he is a out of control.
Inhuman, right?
Inhuman, who is just like kind of a baby inhuman.
I don't like that.
Which is dumb.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're like, that's how they get around that. So.
What was the first one you said? I'm sorry. Oh, see, the Beyonder.
The Beyonder.
And then the Phantom Ring. Yeah, there are too many rings.
And then the, so I don't know what exactly, because there was a limit to the Beyonder's power. And I think I think once he brought all the planets together, the rest was like smoke and mirrors, I think is what they were saying, if I remember right.
I think it was all.
Like in here.
Well, I mean, truly the ultimate villain is the Marvel editorial staff for depowering him.
That's true.
Well, then the ultimate.
Those editors are super villains.
That was a Brian Michael Bendis story. That was a Brian Michael Bendis story.
Well, then Brian Michael Bendis is the ultimate Marvel villain.
There you go. All right, that's good. All right, let's go to Mr. Flash. I saw his hand back here.
There's a Phantom Ring?
It's a Phantom Ring, man.
Man,
rolled
on crazy pills?
Stand up, Mr. Flash. What's your name, by the way?
Tyler.
Okay, Tyler.
So, I'm going to put this in the words of Deadpool.
Bye, guys. Bye.
Bye.
What if you assemble the boy band? The X-Men boy band?
It's
all just Summers Brothers with their shirts off.
Yes.
I'd buy front row ticket.
I don't think I would go to that. Not really my thing.
If you got Colossus...
I like him
Wolverine
too.
And Deadpool all together, like, and misogynistic teenage warhead, like they all them together are just this perfect team of strength and inhumanness.
I don't know if that ever happened because Deadpool is not a team player. He's too much of a wild card.
But gotta remember, he has, like, if Thanos continues, then
yeah, that's true.
He's risking his wife. And he cares about really nothing else but his wife, so.
Ooh. Well, you know what, though? The thing would be, like, in the comics, I could see that. I can't see it in the movies because mutants technically do not exist in the Marvel.
I mean, let's be honest here. Deadpool snapped away immediately, right? Like, in the snap of half the universe going away, Deadpool disappears.
Oh,
Deadpool can't disappear.
You think he sees it coming? And like sidesteps it, I'd give that to Deadpool.
Do you think all the people with regenerative healing factors just like their atoms are just like trying to reform and they're just struggling and you see these little clouds of dust
that's Wolverine's hell. It's Wolverine constantly
Wolverine and Laura and Wade just like
he's just walking and then like he's got some dust behind him.
Yeah, like, he's constantly like blowing those icky skin flakes off.
He walks into his house like
God, he's
just
so gross
at him,
already.
Just, like,
I don't
tracking
that.
In dirt.
Hey, he's burned up like a weenie, huh? He's like Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
Like,
thanks, man. Thanks. All right, anybody else? Oh, okay, right here, sir. Here, I'll come around to you. Here we go. What's your name?
Anakin.
Right, this guy has the most badass
that
name
is awesome.
Of anybody.
All right, going off of a different type of fandom, what about all three of the Deathly Hallows?
Ooh.
Oh, interesting. That's a good call.
You know,
we didn't talk about that.
You know what? The fact that Harry Potter could have gotten all three if he wanted to and didn't.
He's a completely mediocre wizard. That's why.
No, what an idiot.
You know what the thing? One of the things I hate.
He would have failed without Hermione.
One of the
he
things
sucks.
I hated about that last movie is that he gets the Elder Wand. He has the most powerful wand of all wizards. And he just goes, nah. He throws it away. And I'm like, no, keep that thing, you idiot.
But he had the, didn't he have the cloak too? And then he just had to get the other thing.
He still has the cloak.
Yeah, it's just like.
The only thing he didn't have was the
I'll
resurrection stone.
I'd punch him in the face. I'd be like, wrong. Like,
he had the resurrection stone? Oh, he had all three? God, you idiot, Harry.
Yeah, Harry's kind of the worst guy.
Everybody who dies in that last movie, it's his fault. So I'd be like, you know what?
My favorite Marauder dies.
That's right.
Yeah.
He could have brought them all back.
Could have done everything.
You know how
like,
he could have never caused the whole war if he just died as a baby.
Well, that's cold. Oh, that is cold.
So I take it. When are you guys having kids? So is,
wow.
I'm actually rereading the first.
I don't know.
Book
I don't
right
know because I don't know what the Deathly Hallows do all three together because Harry was such an idiot that he just didn't use.
He never
any
got
of
isn't it? Don't they say that they make the controller the ultimate, like the ultimate controller of life, power of life and death?
Yeah.
So it's basically the Infinity Gauntlet of their universe, right?
Sort of. Except, he can't really rewrite reality though.
And leave it to a little kid to mess it all up, man.
But even if he'd gotten them all at the same time and had the wherewithal to use it, I mean, we know Harry's a good person, but is he like a powerful enough person that you would want to have in that position? Like Dumbledore is a wizard who has skill and moral compass. Who would be a good person to
and
be in
Dumbledore
charge of something?
Dumbledore basically
like
had
that.
All three at the same time.
But he killed
too,
himself,
he?
Though. Basically, he let
for die. For Harry.
Yeah,
not worth it, man. I'd be like, you know what? Yeah, he get a death once, maybe not twice. It's all right.
All right. Is anybody
the real
else?
Villain oh. is Harry Potter.
Right back here in the back. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna.
It's like the real villain. The Marvel movies is Tony Stark. When you think about.
Oh, for
it.
Real.
Yeah,
for real.
Right. He's a super villain.
And a lot of the last movie was like, guys, remember we liked Tony Stark. Yeah.
What's your name, sir?
My name is Matt. My question is, you guys talked about the importance of user, and I think you left out my favorite user of the Infinity Gauntlet, Dr. Doom.
Oh, was he? Did
but
he have
a
the
bad
airline?
Guy.
That's a fair point.
Did he
use it before Secret Wars? Did he have it before then, or was it during?
It's a bunch
it
of
was during Secret Wars, right?
Googling yeah, yeah, going on Secret right Wars. Now.
Because isn't that like a famous cover? Like he has it. Yeah, yeah.
He has the wow. I forgot all about that.
I forgot about that too.
You know what? Something happened because I think Von Doom at the end, he wants to be the one who does it on his own. He doesn't like giving credit to like something else in order to win. Mm-hmm. I think that's always his fail. Like with the things I've always read about him, it was like is his ego.
Hubris.
It's like, I don't need this glove. He's like that guy, I don't need this gun, John. I'll keep fucking fight you. You know, crazy guy from the Commando movie. You know, he just like, I don't need this. He's got something to prove, you know. Like,
written by Jeff Loeb.
Is
oh, really?
Really?
Commando wow. is written by Jeff Loeb.
That guy is everywhere.
Batman
man.
Long Halloween writer wow. Jeff Loeb wrote Commando.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. That's yeah, a I good don't know. That is a good call. Dr. Doom, I think Dr. Doom with the Infinity Gauntlet is more powerful than Adam Warlock. I think because he's just smarter with it. He's such a genius. Like now, Adam Warlock.
But do you
has,
think he uses it for
we talk
good?
About it with Reed Richards, no. though. I think he'd go megamaniac.
We've seen Dr. Doom in the Jonathan Hickman Secret Wars rewrote the universe. And became and set himself up as the ultimate god.
So he basically did what Thanos did.
He did what Thanos mm-hmm. did, except so. He rewrote reality, took control of it. He made Sue his wife and Franklin and Valeria.
Oh, that's
Franklin,
messed up.
Franklin
that's
and Valeria right. became his
He took
kids.
His best yeah. friend's wife.
Yep. And he wrote
well, because he's in, you know, because everyone's in love with
he
Sue.
He basically made Reed Richards disappear from
he's
existence.
He's just a blonde.
Dude.
Like, what is it, blondes? Like, no, I mean, nothing against blondes. I'm just saying, like, dude, you got all this power. You have a whole country, and you just want what you can't have, man.
That's, all right, let's go. I saw this gentleman right here. Back. If you're still willing, this will be the final question mentioned.
Yeah, we got the 5 minutes.
We got the 5 minute warning. So. What's your name, sir?
Oh, Mehdi. You guys were mentioning about Doom, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So the one thing I do remember with Doom though was that wasn't he doing everything because of his mom's soul because it was trapped by Mephisto? That's the reason why he kept searching out for different kinds of power and whatnot. Like he was looking for the ultimate power. Basically to
free
out,
his mom.
To
take out the devil.
He's yeah, a mama's boy.
Basically. That's the difficult thing about comic book morality is like you Thanks, do man. Have to save people's souls every once in a while.
Hold on a second. He's
if we were mentioning like other fandom and everything like that, I was thinking about the Ark. Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen that movie.
That
what?
That's an interesting... No.
I've never seen any
Who
of those
are you?
Movies.
What?
I
didn't
win.
Oh my gosh. Jason, what is going on here, man?
Look, I have tried.
We have had to have a serious talk after this. Okay?
I have tried. The Ark of the Covenant's
an
interesting.
That's a good one.
Is that the one that melts people?
Yes, it melts people.
That's
melts Nazis specifically.
Oh, but that's fine then. Let's bring
that
back.
It melts everybody. But that's a really good.
Hashtag melt Nazis.
That's really good. That's because that
that's
is.
How you feed Nazi Captain America? You just give him the Ark.
Well, how do you defeat?
I think they just gave him a new creative team, and now he's not a Nazi.
Oh, that's
how do you defeat God in a box?
Satan in a box?
Boom, there you go. Satan in a box.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Isn't that the Cenobites, though?
The Dark of the Covenant. Yeah. That's the opposite. The Dark of the Covenant.
You just open up a whole can. That's like another hour talk, man.
Oh, man. That's Ark of the Covenant versus versus
Hellraiser.
Okay, sure. I'm good at that.
Yeah, we're gonna have protests here, I'm sure.
That's so awesome.
Good question. Yeah.
You know what? I like that question so much, sir, that you're gonna get the print. That was a great
good job.
After the panel, you come up here right now. Congratulations on winning this print. Guys, really quickly, don't leave the panel because we want to do a big selfie with you all that are all here. But really quickly, John Boy, thank you so much for joining the panel.
Pleasure.
Where's your table at? Where can they find you?
I'm at F5. So just swing on by, say hey, give me a high five. You know, it'd be nice to talk to you guys. Just connect. You know, I'm a fan like you guys, so I love talking about this stuff.
And if you guys like this discussion, please check out our podcast, Geek History Lesson. It's at geekhistorylesson.com. It's a weekly podcast where we dive deep into all this stuff. Thank you guys so much for coming. This was a lot of fun. And remember, the Ark of Covenant beats all.